after his resurrection, there are a few things that happened, brothers and sisters. At least three of them that I want to remind us of today as we study the Word of God together. The first I want to remind us of is the fact that Jesus appeared to his disciples over a period of 40 days, multiple times, and to his disciples, he met with them at least three times after his resurrection. And then after his resurrection, these disciples were privileged, brothers and sisters. They were not there when he came down from glory. They were not there when he was born, but they were privileged, brothers and sisters, to see him, to witness him go off to glory, to go back to the splendor from which he came, to go back to the right hand of God. They were all standing there with him to witness that moment of his ascension. But there was one other thing that they had the privilege not just to witness, to be a part of, and that was the coming of the Holy Spirit. I say to you, brothers and sisters, that I am excited about this period of time, and I would love for you to be excited about the next couple of weeks, because you see, it talks about us. It helps us to understand how we relate to the Word of God. Had we had time today, we would sing together the hymn that we sing in Bible study sometimes. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. You see, brothers and sisters, we as believers, I don't think we are recognizing the importance of the Word of God to our lives and to our society. Our society, our world is crumbling right now, brothers and sisters. Our world is being turned upside down right now. You listen to the news, and when you listen, the things we hear about in the news today, the things that we hear coming from some of the most powerful sources in the world, they are disheartening, because we realize that human strength is failing. And human efforts are just futile. We realize that the best of men are men at best. That's what we're realizing. But you know, I say to us, brothers and sisters, I feel it deep within my bowels. I feel it on the inside, because I do not think that we as believers are paying enough attention to the Word of God, and there are serious consequences for not taking the Word of God seriously and acting upon it. You know what the Word of God says? How can a young man cleanse his way but take heed to the Word of God? And I'm going to go there, brothers and sisters. And it may take me, I was planning for about 2 weeks for this. But it's probably going to take me three if I take more of my time to get this down. I'm saying to us that too many of us are not paying enough attention to the Word of God. I'm saying, young people, the Word of God, when taken seriously and applied to your life, it can never go wrong. Can't go wrong. And too many of us are confiding in our own strength. Too many of us believers, brothers and sisters, we are trying to figure out things all on our own. And as I listened to Brother Rohan minister to the class students who graduated this morning, we put ourselves in a lot of mess, and then we come to fasting on a Tuesday to ask God to unravel the mess that we've put ourselves in. We choose the wrong career. We choose the wrong path in our lives. We choose the wrong partners in life because we will not listen to God. And then when we mess up ourselves, we want God to unravel it for us. We sing the song when we mess up. Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hand. We, brothers and sisters, including your pastor standing up here. I was talking to the group that we're doing our leadership conference. We're doing an intense leadership conference, preparing trainers to be able to teach leadership in this church. And we were there yesterday, and I said to them, every single one of us who stand to lead, to facilitate any of these courses, I want us to talk about the we factor. I don't want to talk us about the you factor. I want us to talk about the we factor, because when I stand up here to minister the word of God, brothers and sisters, I realize that I am under the scrutiny of this book myself when I'm delivering. It is a we thing, the we-ness of what's going on inside here right now. And I say to us, too many of us are not paying attention to the word of God. Can you imagine? I didn't plan to take so much time, but can you imagine, brothers and sisters, that Jesus was with his disciples for 3.5 years? Can you imagine, brothers and sisters, that there were times when Jesus preached, when Jesus lectured or taught, and other people didn't understand what Jesus said, and his disciples had the privilege of sitting down with Jesus and have Jesus tutor them, have Jesus unravel and unpack some of the things that he said to the people who did not understand. They had the privilege of having Jesus unpack those things for them. Unpack. 3.5 years. 3.5 years, these disciples were with Jesus, and Jesus told them things that he did not tell anybody else. 3.5 years. 3.5 years they were with Jesus, and Jesus had some private moments. And when he was going off to the mountainside, he took three of them, Peter, James, and John, with him. And they were privileged, like some people in the West Toronto church, privileged to be close to the man of God, privileged to be close to the people of God, privileged to be close to the word of God, privileged to be near to the heart of God. And at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, when the disciples sat their comprehensive exam, every single one of them failed. Everyone, barring none. Peter failed. James, John, all of them failed their comprehensive exam. I have a sneaky feeling deep in my gut that when I'm preparing the word of God sometimes, including when I was preparing this one, I had a perspiration moment where I said, God, I believe that Wayne Vernon and some of the people who he's been preaching to for the last 3 years, I believe, brothers and sisters, that sadly, if we did our comprehensive exam that God sets for us, not Wayne Vernon, but that God sets, I believe that some of us who think we would pass, we would fail. That reality came to me. The reality came to me. And I had a moment of perspiration. I felt that hot, you know. I don't know that it is hot flash, whatever. But I don't know. I just know that I just felt unusually hot. You know, brothers and sisters, Jesus was shocked at how much of his teachings his disciples did not grasp. He was shocked at how much of his teachings his disciples did not remember. He was shocked at how much of his teachings his disciples did not believe. He was shocked at the fact that his disciples did not recognize him. He was shocked at how fearful they were. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, Jesus was shocked. If you and I don't understand that God displays emotions, then we've got to read the Bible again, because the Trinity, the Godhead, this unique relationship of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there is emotion in there. They express emotion, and Jesus was shocked at how little people had remembered. He was shocked. Comprehensive exam came. Final exam came. And Jesus discovered that some people had misunderstood what he said. You know, do you understand, brothers and sisters? I'm taking my time. I'm sorry. I'm just going to take my time. Do you understand, brothers and sisters, that even after the death of Jesus, Acts chapter 1 tells us that there were still disciples who thought that Jesus was going to establish a political kingdom and were disappointed that that was not going to happen? Brothers and sisters, how much of what I preach do you misunderstand? How much of it do you misunderstand? How much of it do you cuss me for and blame and just carry on because you misunderstand it? Jesus was misunderstood. Even after all he had done, he was misunderstood. They still misunderstood him. They still doubted him, brothers and sisters. They did not believe some of what he said. Can you imagine? Jesus had to chide his disciples for their unbelief, because a lot of what he said, they did not believe. If you think it is easy to be a pastor, you make a sad mistake. You make a sad mistake. If you think this thing is easy, you make a sad mistake, brothers and sisters. Because a lot of what a pastor preaches right up here on a Sunday morning is not accepted, not believed, not received. I've been doing this for the last 30 years, so I kind of understand a little bit about it. Still learning. You know, Jesus was concerned that his disciples had forgot so much. They had forgotten so much of what he had taught them. He was disappointed of the fear that came over his disciples. He was disappointed that in their sorrow and in their pain, brothers and sisters, they retreated into silence because of their fear of the Jews. They hid themselves. When I was preparing this, young people, I got a word for you, young people. Young people, sometimes out of fear, you retreat into silence because you're afraid of what your professor will think about you and your opinion on religion, on Christianity, on spirituality, on sexuality. And sometimes, young people, in your fear, you retreat into silence. The disciples retreated because of fear. Because of fear, they retreated. Many of us in our workplaces, we have retreated because of fear. We're hiding our Christian commitment. Many of us are not allowing anybody to know that we're believers. Family and friends don't know that we're believers in Jesus Christ. The disciples retreated out of fear, their pain. How many of you, because of your pain? You know, as I listened to the story of West Toronto 50th, I heard so much pain coming out. And people who have refused to let go their pain. But can I tell you, brothers and sisters, unless you release that pain, unless you release that hurt, unless you release that deep-seated pain on the inside and let it go in the name of Jesus, others are going to be better, but you are not going to be better. Because when you hold someone up in your heart, I understand it is like taking part poison and expecting somebody else to die. Out of pain, they were hurt. How do I know that they were pain? They were hurting. Mary came to the tomb. She was crying. She gave the angel a story that they've taken away her Lord, and she don't know where they took him. Who took him away? Sometimes when we're going through pain and we're having some hurts inside, we perceive of things that are not even true. But we are hurting. We're hurting. These disciples, they were hurting. These disciples did not recognize Jesus because all of what Jesus had said to them, they had allowed it to slip by. Didn't the word of God tell us that we must be careful that we do not allow the word of God to slip by? We don't want the word of God to ever slip by, brothers and sisters. You see, if the word of God slips by, if what Jesus tells us slip by. It's time is our obedience. It's time is our action. It hinders our obedience. It hinders our actions when we do not take the word of God seriously. But worse than that, brothers and sisters, it's time is the work of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. Can I say that again? When we do not take the word of God seriously, it hampers the work of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. And this is a church, brothers and sisters. We are now studying the gifts of the Spirit on Wednesday night in our Bible study. Can I tell you, we learned in our leadership class that the church is the hope of the world and leaders are the hope of the church. I want to call on every human being sitting inside here today that God saved you for a purpose. He brought you to this church for a purpose. He brought you to this community for a purpose. He did not bring you here to sit on your laurels and look around. He brought you here for work. He brought you here for mission. He has given you a tool in your hand, and he expects you to use this tool for his honor and for his glory. And I have a question to ask, brothers and sisters. When you and I stand before God, have you worked out yet what you're going to tell him? Have you worked it out? Because you know what my Bible tells me? My Bible tells me about one category of people who will stand before the Lord. And I'm saying that because I don't want anybody to rebut and to say, you know, careful of the tribulation and the, you know, rapture period, Pastor. One category of people who are going to stand before the Lord without going into it, they are going to have to, every knee is going to have to bow, and every tongue is going to have to confess. That's one group of people that's going to be before the Lord. And I'm asking, brothers and sisters, have we worked out yet what we're going to say to him? Why we have not done his will in the earth? Why we have not carried out his mission in the earth? We've got to figure it out and figure it out quickly, brothers and sisters, because I have a few things to say to us that Jesus did, and you and I have got to be careful of it. Are you ready for us to talk together now? What about those over here? Are you ready? You guys over here are closest to the door. Remember that. You're closest to the door. I won't tell you the evaluation and the analysis of that today. But I'll tell you another time, all right? But I'm going to work with you over there today. And you get to hear the first thing that Jesus did with his disciples. And pick sense out of nonsense when I share this with you. The first thing that Jesus did with his disciples was that he rebuked them. That's what he did. He rebuked them. Jesus rebuked his disciples. He said to them, "You guys are so doubtful. You are of little faith." He said, "Listen to me, man. You guys do not remember what I taught you. You are so forgetful." Jesus rebuked them. He said, "You are so fearful." He rebuked them. He said to the guys on the Emmaus Road, "How slow are you? How foolish you are and slow." Jesus said, you're slow and foolish of heart. He had to rebuke them. Brothers and sisters, the church, in the church, the word of God has come to rebuke us. And if we're the disciples, man, he said to them, I've been with you a long time. I've preached to you. We prayed together. We ate together. We lived together. But you did not believe my word. You did not take my word seriously. You have not paid attention to my word. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if there's anything that offends me more than anything else, is to know that my children were that I have taught them. And when I'm arguing with them, Pastor Ricketts, I say to them, have you seen me live like that? Have you ever heard me behave them? Yeah. Jesus rebuked his disciples. But there is something else that Jesus did. How many of us realize that God is a loving God? And the church has got to be a loving church. How many of you realize that? Hold up your hand. Yeah, you should have realized that long time, because the number of times that God has been merciful to you, you should have your two hands up. Trust me. It's only because I'm up here preaching. Why my foot them not up and hand them not? Because God has been too merciful to me. Love. And that's why I have to preach with compassion after I have preached and hit you hard. I've got to preach with compassion, because you won't have to answer to God for me. I'm going to have to answer to God for you. And you don't get that. Only me get that. Why me, Lord? Why I have to answer for these people? Because of his love for you. Him get somebody else to answer for you. He rebuked them. But listen to the loving side of it. No, oh God, I love Jesus. I love him with my whole heart. Glory. Jesus rebuked them. But then Jesus reminded them. Jesus was so loving and merciful that even after he rebuked them and called them out, he reminded them, this is what I was talking about when I said this to you. This is what I meant. He reminded them, Gary. Reminding them. There are some things I have had to study in my life that, you know, some of them can stay. Others of them, you know, I mathematics is one of them that I figure I have learned enough now to help myself. And I got something here that is called a smartphone, that, you know, when I say Google, one and one is how much? Google say two. And I say, thank you, Google. I knew that. I knew that. I was just checking to see if you know it. Yeah, but I knew that. I could have done that easily, but you know, I was just giving you a chance. Yeah, but there are some things I did, like when I went to seminary and we had to do Greek and we had to do Hebrew. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, languages are challenging. And I grew up learning a particular language called English, that every one of my teachers figured that we all know English already. So they never taught us the rudiments of English. Like my mama was able to correct me by the rudiments. I just knew what to say, but my mama knew why you say what you say. And I didn't know that. You get what I'm saying? My mother knew why I misspelled the word, because I put I before E when it should not have been before it. Because no. There's a C in the word, son. And if there's a C in the word, the relationship between I and E change. And I'm saying, mama, but I don't need to know that. I just need to know how the word spell. I-E. She said, you need to know the rudiments of it. But when I did Greek and Hebrew, I had a great appreciation for English. And I suddenly learned English in a new way and understood the rudiments of English. But as we studied, you know what they did? They gave to us a box of cards, a box of vocab cards. And the teacher said to us, only take out 10 at a time. And you bring that with you to the bank. You bring it with you to the washroom. You bring it wherever you're going. And every time you take them out, you take them out. You use them. And you remind yourself until you're able to do it. And you remember the words. And until this day, I still remember some of my Greek and Hebrew words. And when I take up the Bible, I am able to remember them because somebody sat me down. And when you got them wrong and you couldn't figure it out, somebody reminds you over and over and over and over again. Ah, brothers and sisters, somebody has got to remind me over and over. I've got to sing, "Remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtains, dear Lord, of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remind me." It's like a language that I'm learning. The language of faith, the language of prayer, the language of trusting God, the language of loving my brothers and sisters. Sometimes I forget and I just need a reminder because it's a language that I struggle with to learn. I struggle. Jesus reminded them, but Jesus did something else that was loving. Jesus McKay, Jesus reached out to them. Some of them had gone back, oh God, I feel this one, you know. Some of them had gone back to fishing. They had gone back to their former occupation. And Jesus reached out to them. Jesus went where they were. And in their frustration and in their problems, Jesus reached out to them. Ah, brothers and sisters, Jesus wants to allow his spirit to move in the church. He's going to rebuke us. He's going to remind us. He's going to reach out to us because all that he's doing, he's making an effort to get the people of God ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have a mission to accomplish here on earth, and it cannot be done without the power of the Holy Spirit. So he rebukes us. He reminds us. He reaches out to us. Ah, somebody has sung a song some years ago. When he reached down his hand for me, I was lost and undone without God or his son. But he reached way down. Way down. Jesus reached out for his disciples. Some of us, we're seeking God for the power of God to be upon our lives. But there's so much mess in our lives that God refuses to pour out his spirit into that dirty vessel, onto that situation. But here today, brothers and sisters, is a loving God that's reaching out a hand. And somebody said, would you reach out to the hand that's reaching out to you? He's stretching for somebody today. And all he's asking is for somebody to reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. He's not too busy to hear that you're crying. I don't care what has messed you up. I don't care if you got messed up with immorality. I don't care if you got messed up with drugs. I don't care if you got messed up. Some of our people have gotten messed up. If you were here during the 50th, you would have seen people who have passed through this church, and some of them did come back to visit, but some of them are messed up. They're messed up. They will blame the church, but they are messed up. They are messed up and they need God. They need to reach out to the hand that's reaching out to them, brothers and sisters. Reach out to them. But you know, our loving God, he reassured them. You know, sometimes when you and I mess up and we figure that God is done with us, but when he reassures us, what a blessed thing when he reassures us. I can't get over how Jesus related to Peter. I just can't get over it. You know, at one point Jesus warned him. Jesus said to him, the devil
plans to sift you as wheat. But I pray for you. I pray for you. I pray for you that your faith will not fail. You know, and Jesus said to him, Peter, I'm going to ask you a favor. You know, some people may be upset with me, Peter, for asking you after you have failed so badly to do you, Jesus, a favor. But he said, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Everybody think that you are the worst. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody hear that you have denied me, and everybody think, but I'm going to ask you a favor. When you come back, I'm going to ask you a favor. I'm going to ask you to strengthen the others because they are in their weakness. You know, brothers and sisters, Luke chapter 24 is where I'm pitching my tent today. That's where I am. You know, Jesus, he rebuked them. He reminded them. You know, he spent time with them. He reassured them of his love. When I hear how Jesus reassured these ladies and were tender with these ladies who came to the tomb, how loving he was to them and reassuring, it's amazing. But the other thing I notice about what Jesus did, and next time we're going to talk about how it affected the disciples and how they responded. I'm going to come back to that next time. But guess what? Jesus restored his disciples. He restored them. You know, I believe that if Judas had you know, waited and had spent some time, quite possibly, I don't know, I can't tell because the Bible doesn't say, but chances are there are prophecies about what would have happened to Judas. But guess what? You know, I believe that if this guy had come back and repented and confessed before Jesus Christ, I don't know. I'm only speculating, you know, what could have happened out of that exchange, because Jesus restored his disciples. You and I just think about the 12 disciples that Jesus restored. But do you realize that on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 of them? When they got back from the Mount of Olives, which is what I'm going to talk about next time, when they got back and went back to the upper room where the others were, it was all the disciples were there. And the Bible said, and the other women, the women who had followed him from Galilee, they were in the room too. His mother Mary was in the room, and his brothers were in the room. There were people there. You and I are thinking about the apostles, 11 of them that were there. My brother, it ain't no just no apostles either. It was all kinds of people inside. Why am I saying that, Sister Jackson? I'm saying that because sometimes when we are preaching, we're thinking of just ministers and leaders and people in authority and stuff like that. No, it was all kinds of people that were inside there. Jesus' relatives were inside there. His mama was in there. His brothers were inside there. All kinds of women who had followed him. One of them, her husband was a wealthy man, and she was using her money, his money, to fund Jesus' ministry. Right? These women who followed Jesus from Galilee, they were all there. And do you know, Jesus had to restore every single one of them. When he's done rebuking you, he's going to remind you. Don't forget that. He's going to reassure you. He's going to reach out to you. And he's going to restore you. If the Spirit of God and the power of God is going to move through his church again, you and I have got to subject ourselves to the rebuke of the Word of God. And I don't know if the Word of God has ever rebuked you yet, you know. What can I tell you something? Sometimes when the Word of God is done with me in my devotion, it would have been good if Pastor had preached that rebuke, because I would have said, oh yes, that one is for Sister Green. Not for me. But when you're in your personal devotion, Sister Green, and the Spirit of the Lord convict you, you can't point no finger. There's, you look around and your husband not there. Your kids are not there. It is just you and God alone. He could not be talking to anybody else. This one has got to be for you. And it is on target. When the word of God rebukes me sometimes, I am so embarrassed because I'm leading the people of God. But God rebukes me with his word. But I thank him that there's a point at which he reaches out to this little soul. He reaches out to this sinner saved by grace. He, the hand of God, reaches out to me and he pulls me into his arms. He reassures me. He said, son, I love you. Son, I care for you. Son, it is I who called you. It is I who commissioned you. It is I who have brought you to this place. Settle yourself and relax in me, because I am the one. Ah, when he reassures me, you feel a warmth come over you. When he reassures you that I am here and I love you. I love you, son. I love you. I know you, what you did was stupid, but I love you. And that's why I'm rebuking you. And that's why I'm reminding you. And that's why I want to reassure you of my love. Because I want to restore you. Hear me. If you are in this house today and you sense that God has sent a word, and God may have given you a word in your devotion, a word of rebuke, and he has reached out to you, maybe in this sermon today, or through his word, or through somebody else. Here is a golden opportunity for you to recommit to him, because he has reached out to you, and you need to recommit to him so that he can renew you. All ours, you're not supposed to remember. You know how hard I have to try to see if I could line them up so that you won't forget. He will come close to you. He will reassure you of his love. He restores you, and he will renew you. He will refresh you. He will grant unto you his power. He will lift you up. Many of us have experienced the power of God before in our lives. Many of us in this place right now, we've experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit many years ago, and sometimes we grow cold. Sometimes we go complacent. Sometimes we get proud because we misunderstood why we got the gift and feel that we're in the cat's pajamas. But he comes to us today to say, I'm reaching out to you, because there's a thing called sanctification that causes cleansing over and over and over and over again. And I want to sanctify you. I want to renew you. I want to restore you. I want to revive you, because you have grown cold. Ah, you have grown cold. You have grown cold. You have grown cold. And I want to restore you. I want to revive you. I want to rekindle you. I want to resuscitate you. I want to take you off of life support today. And I want to revive you. I want to hear you shout again. I want to hear you. Oh God, I want to hear you scream again. I want to hear you worship again. I want to hear you pray again. I want to hear you. I want to hear you. I want to see you lay hands on the sick again. I want to see you. I want to see you move in the power of the Spirit again. I want you to move out of self. I want you to get out of self. You've been in self too long. And I want to move you out of self. I want to revive you. I want to revive you, because I want to use you for my honor and for my glory. You're in the house today, and you know that God speaking to your heart. Stand with me, please. Stand with me, please. Stand with me, please.